directly from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 48, Text 26, entitled, Krishna Pleases His Devotees. Ka panditaha tvat aparam sharanam samiyat bhakta priyat rita giraha suridaha kritagnyat sarvan dadati suridaha bhajataha abhikaman atmanam api upachaya apachayau na yasya. Ka panditas tvadaparam sharanam samiyad bhakta priyad itagira surida kritta gnyat sarvan dadati surido bhajato abhikaman atmanam abhyupachayau apachayau na yasya. Ka panditastvadaparam sharanam samiyat bhakta priyadrita gira surida kritagnyat sarvan dadati surido bhajato abhikaman atmanam apichayau apachayau na yasya. Ka panditastvadaparam sharanam samiyat bhakta priyadrita gira surida kritagnyat sarvan dadati surido bhajato abhikaman atmanam api upachayau apachayau na yasya. Sharanam samiyat bhakta priyadrita gira surida kritagnyat sarvan dadati surido bhajato abhikaman piyupachayau apachayau na yasya. Bhakta priya drita gira surida kritagnyat sarvan dadati surido bhajato abhikaman atmanam api upachayau apachayau na yasya. Ka panditas tvadaparam sharanam samiyat bhakta priyadrita gira surida kritagnyat sarvan dadati surido bhajato abhikaman atmanam api upachayau apachayau na yasya. Ladies, Ka pandita tvat aparam sharanam samiyat bhakta priyadrita gira surida kritagnyat sarvan dadati surido bhajato abhikaman atmanam api upachayau apachayau na yasya. Kaha, what? Panditaha, scholar. Tvat, other than you. Aparam, to another. Sharanam, for shelter. Samiyat, would go. Bhakta, to your devotees. Priyat, affectionate. Rita, always true. Gira, whose words. Suridaha, the well-wisher. Kritagnyat, grateful. Sarvan, all. Dadati, you give. Suridaha, to your well-wishing devotees. Bhajataha, who are engaged in worshipping you. Abhikaman, desires. Atmanam, yourself. Api, even. Upachaya, increase. Apachayau, or diminution. Na, never. Yasya, whose. Translation and proper by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. What learned person would approach anyone but you for shelter? When you are the affectionate, grateful and truthful well-wisher of your devotees. To those who worship you in sincere friendship, you reward everything they desire. Even your own self, yet you never increase or diminish. Purport. This verse describes both the Lord and His devotees as Suridaha, well-wishers. The Lord is the well-wisher of His devotee, and the devotee lovingly desires all happiness for the Lord. Even in this world, an excess of love may sometimes produce unnecessary solicitude. For example, we often observe that a mother's loving concern for her adult child is not always justified by an actual danger to the child. A grown child may be wealthy, competent and healthy, and yet the mother's loving concern continues. Similarly, a pure devotee always feels loving concern for Lord Krishna, as exemplified by Mother Yashoda, who could only think of Krishna as her beautiful son. Lord Krishna had promised Akrura that after killing Kansa, he would visit his home, and now the Lord kept his promise. Akrura recognizes this and glorifies the Lord as Ritagira, one who is true to His word. The Lord is Kritagnya, grateful for whatever little worship a devotee offers, and even if the devotee forgets, the Lord does not. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. What learned person would approach anyone but you for shelter when you are the affectionate, grateful and truthful well-wisher of your devotees? To those who worship you in sincere friendship, you reward everything they desire, even your own self. Yet you never increase or diminish. We are blessed once again today to hear the very intimate conversation between the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna and his exalted devotee Akrura. These recordings of actual conversation which took place not recently but 5,000 years ago. Prabhupada called it recently. But from our point of view it is a lot of time. 5,000 years ago is a long time. But it is so enriching that through the words of Shukdev Goswami and Maharshi Vyas, we are actually able to reminisce the historical account of what actually happened when Krishna went to the house of Akrura. Since these are words of pure devotees of Krishna, they are worthy. They are worthy of being embalmed eternally in the pages of one of the most greatest scriptures. Ordinary words which are there in newspaper are worthy of discarding, being discarded. Because they are spoken by worldly men who Prabhupada qualifies as being like dogs, hogs, camels and asses. So obviously the words of such people, however great they may appear in any Time magazine or whatever else in this world, they are not worthy of any storage but being discarded. But here we are so very fortunate that Akrurji is expressing in such beautiful words his innermost feelings of when he saw this beautiful blue colored boy who was just little more than 10 years old entering into his household. He is fully conscious, he is fully aware, he is not deceived by the young appearance of Krishna as a small boy. He is fully conscious of his extremely exalted situation. And he is fully conscious of the immense unprecedented blessings which he is receiving right now and here. That the most exalted of all lords is there in his simple house. And therefore his heart is overflowing with emotions, with love and with great beautiful words. And he's talking especially about Krishna's 3-4 wonderful qualities here. Of course, Krishna, as we know, different devotees emphasize at different times different qualities of the Lord. However, these qualities which are being glorified here are probably the most prominent of his qualities, and therefore they are repeated again and again in the prayers of great Vaishnavas. That he is very wonderfully affectionate, that he is always... Now here is saying that Krishna is grateful. Now this is a little unique. Generally the devotee is very grateful. That's what we are at least taught in our sadhana bhakti, to be very grateful to the Lord. But obviously every quality has to be there in full total in the Lord to be there in us in a small amount. So unless the Lord was grateful, unlimitedly grateful, we would not have even a limited amount of gratitude in our heart. So the reservoir of all qualities is also very grateful. And he is also the truthful well-wisher of his devotees. Therefore, Akrura is asking a rhetoric question. That if you have the opportunity, asking a very basic but extremely profound question to the entire world, to you and me. That my dear readers, my dear listeners, my dear devotees, please consider this. That if you have the opportunity of having a relationship, a contact with a person who is extremely grateful, who is wonderfully affectionate and is your true well-wishing friend, life after life after life, where and why would there be any need for any one of us to go anywhere else for shelter, for love, for relationship, for affection? Why do we will have to hunt or search or make a vain attempt of finding these basic needs of the heart at any other locality or place in any other person? These qualities are so deeply, immensely essential for existence. Inasmuch as water and food and air are basic qualities for surviving this human body, it is not possible to survive for a few minutes beyond without air, and without more than a few days without water, without few weeks without food. This body will perish no matter what. Both are sustainers of the Pancha Mahabhut. But the sustenance of the spirit soul, which is you and me, we, the soul within the body, is sustained through genuine affection. We are sustained through relationships which are really endearing and selfless. We are sustained by affection of those people around us who are true, genuine well-wishers. And that makes life worthy of existence. Anybody in this world who feels at any point of time that he is not being loved, that he has no shelter, that nobody really cares for him, that he has no reciprocation for what that he has done, is actually a sure candidate for a suicide. Because then he knows that his life is absolutely worthless. With all the wealth he may have, all the cars he may have, whatever name and fame he may have, he is still sure to consider at least. If he doesn't do it, it's great. But he at least will consider that if nobody really loves me in this world, and nobody really cares for me, then why am I really damn living in this world, in this body? He'll sure think of ways and means to end his very existence. On the other hand, as devotees, we have immense reasons to continue life. Not just life in this body, but we have immense reason to continue life after life, after life. Either in some body or in an eternal body. Because that existence is going to be assured of continuous supply of the most basic sustaining commodities of our soul's existence, which is affection, which is love, which is gratitude, which is well-wishing shelter of the most powerful, the most beautiful and the most loving person, that is Sri Krishna. Now this is not coming as new news to us. This is not coming as something, I did not know this. We know this. We have heard this many, many times. And we have accepted in our life, to whatever extent, wherever we are, some process, some attitude, some mindset of approaching this eternal reality. That yes, Krishna is my true well-wishing friend. So we have already accepted the goal. We already accepted the goal that Krishna is the ultimate shelter. But now through these pages every day, we are getting more and more reinforced in our commitment. It is not coming as new. This is not new. Krishna has saved his devotees so many times. Hundreds of times. Millions of times. Right? And we have heard by now several dozens of stories on that. But by hearing and reading this again and again, our commitment becomes consolidated. Becomes reinforced. The roots of our Bhakti Lata Beej actually find reasons to go deeper and deeper and deeper in search. What do the roots look for? They look for water. What do the leaves look for? They look for sunlight. The roots are looking for water, and Krishna is like the sustenance. Jagadanda. He is the Adhara Shaktim, Avalambhya Saram, Paramsa Murtim. He is the sustainer of all life, and therefore our these roots are going deeper, deeper into Krishna's glory to search for that love. And we have reasons to search for that love now. Because Akrura is confirming again that Krishna truly loves his devotees. Truly loves his devotees. That cannot be compared with any other demigod or any other great shelter of this world. however great they may be. Ravana, in one sense, we don't glorify him, but we can glorify him as a pure devotee of Lord Shiva. Of course, the word devotee is not used in that connection. Asurata viprayaha, so we don't use the word devotee there. But as a upasak, we can say, or a sadhaka, or whatever. But he was definitely a person who was like deeply, deeply, you know, in affectionate to Lord Shiva. But you find that any of these people who have gone to any other person other than Krishna, Amba went to Parashuram, for example, to take shelter. But he was also not able to provide shelter because Bhishma foiled his plan. So there is no historical account of anywhere in this Puranas where there are times where the person who was being worshipped always was available to give complete shelter and affection. Because Krishna is the Supreme. Even if you have people like Durvasa Muni who have been attacked by Sudarshan Chakra, these stories help us to again understand the same thing. Now, if you are somewhat, you know, Durvasa Muni is not going to go to a fire brigade to, you know, get his fire out of on his back, right? He's going to go to Brahma because he can approach Brahma, who is the original source of all life in this world. So, do you please help me with this, you know, fiery thing happening behind me? It's scorching my back, and I'm going to get killed. This, you know, what is the heat and light of Sudarshan Chakra? It's not just some gas burner or something, or some candle flame which is sitting under your, you know, under your body. It's chakra. Chakra has the heat of millions of suns. It is the source of all heat and light in the world. You know, so if that is chasing your back, in our mystical body you have, to chant mantras and make it cool, you're not going to be saved. So he goes to Brahma and says, forgive me, I'm sorry, this is beyond me. Goes to Shiva, please save me. No, I'm sorry, it is beyond me. And then he has to go to take shelter of Lord Vishnu. And of course, Vishnu saves him. So you go back to the devotee who hurt, whom you have insulted. Right? So in this way we can see that there is no real shelter anywhere actually. Kimva, that's why that beautiful sloka also of, I think who's saying that? Uddhav. Right? Kimva dayalu. Sharan. This sloka is sort of being echoed very strongly in this verse. Kimva dayalu, where? Where is that person? Please tell me. It's like an open query to the whole world. Is there anyone else you know, my dear people in this world, who is more merciful than this? If there is, then please tell me. I'll go over there and leave this person behind. But the world cannot answer this question because there isn't any person like that. Only Krishna. Only Krishna is the only person who is a true, true well-wisher of his devotees. And what Krishna does not do to really prove his love. I think the previous Braj Bihari Prabhu was there a few days back, and he was saying that the title of this chapter is very encouraging. The devotees please Krishna. The devotees are so many to please Krishna. They have abhishek for him, and they make flower gardens for him, and they make bhoga for him. They dress him, and they serve him, this and that. So many wonderful things they do. 64 items of devotional service, right? But here, Krishna pleases his devotees. This is Krishna. This whole chapter is all about Krishna taking that whole onus on him now. Okay, you have done so much for me, Akrura, right? Now I'm going to please you. You have done this for me. You applied Chandra on my body, which was meant for Kamsa. Okay? So Kupja, I'm going to do this for you. Right? So he's going to do so many things in reciprocation for Krishna. You gave me a garland. Sudama, you gave me a garland. Nice garland. I like it very much. This is what I'm going to do for you. Right? So whatever little bit they have done for him, Krishna is going to go way out and do something extraordinary for them. Right? So this is bhakti. Bhakti is a dual process. It's a bilateral process. It's not a one-sided process. And that keeps on sort of reinforcing each other. You do for Krishna and Krishna does for you. And the whole cycle goes on eternally, as we have heard from Radhana Swami so many times that, you know, it's ever increasing. Yashoda's love for Krishna is ever increasing. Right? And Krishna's love for Yashoda Maya is ever increasing, ever increasing. This is unbelievable. We cannot understand this. How can affection increase every second hundreds of hundreds of hundreds of times? What is the nature of that affection which keeps on increasing? And you get over more and more flooded. The moment Yashoda Maya sees Krishna, oh, her heart is like more than the previous second, she's feeling even more love for him. Oh, my child. And she wants to really take him to his lap and said, kiss him 100 times all over his body and said, my Lord, Krishna, oh, how much I love you. She cannot just express herself enough. Huh? What can she not do? She practically eat Krishna. You know, she must love him so much. Huh? She is overflowing with that love. Huh? And then Krishna man sees that emotion from Yashoda Maya. He said, "Oh Maya, what can I? How much I love you for what you are? How much you take care of me?" And this goes on eternally in Braj, ever increasingly. Of course, the greatest quality of this, the greatest example of this reciprocation is the Pandavas. We can never forget that. How much Krishna showed affection to them, how much he gave them shelter. Yes, he did save Ambarish Maharaj once from the Sudarshan Chakra, but how much times Krishna has saved the Pandavas? The whole Mahabharata is all about that. The whole Mahabharata is there to teach us so many lessons of culture and philosophy and politics and all that, sub-religious principles. However, on the Vaishnava platform, the main thing which Mahaprabhu is supposed to teach us is the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's love for his devotees and devotees' love for Krishna. And that's what makes this humble devotee in South India cry. The simple, unpurred devotee, he just cannot but hold his tears. So when I read this Gita, oof, I don't understand much of this at all. These words are so foreign to me. This language is so foreign to me. But my guru told me what to do. I'm just trying to follow what he said. I'm trying to read something and scarcely anything is going into my consciousness. But then he cannot hold his tears rolling down his cheeks profusely. So what is it that makes you cry? Mahaprabhu asked him. How can you cry at something which you don't understand? If I don't understand what's happening around me, it's very rare to cry like that. You really cry when you understand what's happening in the environment. Right? So on one level, his cortical brain, his conscious brain, was not registering any of the meanings of the words. So at conscious level, this is the brain level, the words are not getting registered, sort of. The words, the sandhi, the samas, and the alliteration and whatever else, the grammar of Sanskrit, it was way beyond him. But through his pure consciousness, practically cutting through his brain substance, but entering straight into his heart, he was feeling every emotion which was happening in the Gita. It was touching his consciousness, his soul. And that was eliciting a response of love. So what makes you cry? What makes you cry like this? So what to do? I just can't resist my tears. I just think of what this wonderful person Krishna. He is the supreme, supreme personality of Godhead. The cause of all causes. The breath of all life. The soul within every soul. The source of all animate, inanimate objects. The source of the rain and the waters and the sun and the sky, the source of everything that exists. And yet, he is a chauffeur of his devotee. A very menial situation. And seeing that affection, my heart is overflowing with emotion of love for this person. Said, "You are an acharya. You are an acharya. You are Bhagavad Gita acharya. Or you understood actually the purpose and the meaning of the Gita." Right? So yes, Krishna saved the Pandavas hundreds and hundreds of times. From all that we know, Kunti Maharani is crying about this. The Lakshagraha, Dyuta Krida, this and that. So many things. She's crying over this. Asat Sabha. So many things. Right? But the crooked human mind, which we have, is, "Oh, Prabhu, this is all right. This is nice, wonderful stories. But I am not all that. I am neither Ambarish. I'm not Bhishma, I'm not Kunti, I'm not Pandavas, I'm just so ordinary." Right? And all this doesn't make so much sense to me. What about at my level? Well, Krishna come to save me. Right? The new devotee, a new devotee like ourselves, we start asking this basic question. That you guys always keep talking about from the Bhagavatam platform about pure devotees whom Krishna is running to save. is trying to save this elephant on the Trikuta mountain because he is a pure devotee, embodied in elephant body, but Indudha Maharaj from the past life was a pure devotee. So Krishna remembers that and he is going to save him now. Right? So this is all about pure. Now what about me? What is the relevancy of these stories to me? I'm not able to even chant my rounds properly. I'm scarcely able to manage my four principles. My consciousness is all going here and there. I'm completely contaminated. I'm offensive in my attitude. And I don't have a service desire to serve. And love, well, that love for Krishna is just an aspiration. What is the relevance of this to me? Can I just live in this utopian world that Krishna loves his pure devotees, so when until I become a pure devotee, well, stay on, my proposal, just stay out of the, hang on to the process, and for that great day, then you will experience pure love. Till that time, just go on, try, wait for that special moment. The answer is a big no. Krishna doesn't just respect with his pure devotees. That's Krishna. The father loves his disobedient child and he also loves his obedient child. The mother loves also the most mischievous, naughty fellow and the most obedient, studious, humble, obedient son also. The love of a parent is always unconditional. Right? Even if sometimes the son goes and murders somebody, the father will book a lawyer for him, the best lawyer around, if he has the money, to save his son from knowing that my son actually has committed murder. And still he'll fight a case for his son. Maybe the lawyer will be able to, cut through the case and, get him out. Instead of, 10 years imprisonment, maybe he can make it to 6 months imprisonment, whatever. But he'll put some big lawyer, knowing that my son actually has committed murder. Right? So also Krishna, we are like that murdering son. Krishna knows all too well our fallacies, inadequacies, pitfalls. But Krishna's love is so, so overwhelming. He still loves all of us. Of course, the difference here is, when Krishna shows his love for his devotees, he will do it more often than not at a personal level. He'll personally rescue Draupadi. He'll personally rescue Prahlad by holding him from the cliff. He'll personally go and save the elephant. And he may save his sadhaka devotees like you and me who are struggling in this world through material nature. Which of course is also his agent. So Krishna may use the material nature and his devotees. That means they are his agents. He may not really do, we are not really so great to have Krishna himself come and save us. I don't think we can expect that. To expect that would be a big mistake. Because what have we really done to be eligible to get Krishna's audience to come and save us personally? That would be audacious. Right? But Krishna still loves his devotees and he will do it through his devotees, who are also his very special Anga. Anga Upanga Parshada. That is Angas. And he will do it through Maya Dakshina Prakriti. Sridhar Sacharachari. One of our devotees, that everyone knows, remembers this terrible day when this terrorist was killing people in our city. And this devotee is sitting in the Govinda's restaurant. Right? And they ordered for a pizza. And the pizza came out from the kitchen, but it came out burnt. Unusual for Govindas to have. I've had pizza many times, but I've never had a burnt pizza. But that it was burnt. They said, send the pizza back. So they went, the fellow went inside, and it took the next few minutes more to get the pizza out fresh again. And there was a delay of maybe 7-8 minutes there. And this devotees went to VT station after that. And just few minutes back, the firing had taken place. If they had the pizza at that time, when it was ordered, and they'd walked to the station, there would be a dead body. But because pizza got burnt, therefore, they didn't get burnt. other than Pisa got burnt. Others, they would have been burnt alive by bullets and then in the funeral pyre. So he saved them through the pizza making machine. He saved their life. Right? This devotee was standing behind the same time, behind the spiller, and shooting was going on in the hotel. All of you remember this ghastly story of what our city went through. And then he's standing there with his machine gun, because he's one of the commandos, right? He's standing behind the pillar, and his mobile rings there. And his ringtone was Narsingha prayers. So he's standing behind this, and he's going to die practically, because he's like just few numbers. Huh? And you know, the guys are very powerful there. But behind the pillar, Narsingha emerges out as the ringtone, and his life is saved. And this is not a pure devotee. He's just a fresh devotee who is just beginning to come to the temple. But his duty, the call of duty, was that he had to go and fight these enemies who are destroying the city. He was saved. Right? One of our devotees was during the bomb blast, it also took place about 8 years ago. He was sitting in the train, and he was sitting with his bead bag, but he was not chanting. Like many of us do that, right? The bead bags are right, the bead is in our hands, but we are not chanting. He was Yoga Nidra. He was sleeping in the train. He must be tired from his day's work, whatever. Must have got up early in the morning, whatever reason. And boom, this huge blast takes place, right? Obviously, he doesn't know what's happening, right? And the moment he gets up, he finds that there are dead bodies around him. There's a pile of dead bodies around him. Can you imagine the shock? Imagine the shock of this person. He gets up and he finds the whole compartment is blown off. Everything is finished. All the patra is on shattered. A huge blast. And people are blood, bloody mess everywhere. Right? And a stone bead bag in his hand. And beads are flung somewhere else. But he lost not his life. He lost just part of his eardrum. Just part of his eardrum. So even if you're holding the bead bag and not chanting, still Krishna says, oh yeah. At least he's trying to chant my holy names. So he's worthy of my love and protection and care. So I'll save you for holding the tulsi bead bag. Krishna's love is absolutely miraculous. Right? So this is not a pure devotee who's sleeping in his rounds. Pure devotees do not do that. And if they sleep, they're dreaming of Krishna probably. Right? But it's just an average devotee like you and me, just going through life, going through the daily routine of life in this great city of Mumbai. And Krishna saved him through material energy. A bomb blast in his cabin, in his dabba, and he is alive. Now that in itself, because there was some guy who was in front of him who took the blast. So he was killed instantly. And just because he was behind that person. So where he went and sat also was sort of, you know, he could have sat next to that. He would have sat on the same seat under which the I think it was upstairs there or something. He would have just sat in the same place where, but it was just few feet away, just behind some person. So that person was protecting him. What can we say? So these are wonderful small little stories of sadhakas like you and me. So Krishna Prabhu was not a Nitya Siddha devotee also. A sadhaka like you and me, but he surrendered his life in humility and devotion to his spiritual master. And he was saved and he ascended to the kingdom of God. Devotees were there on the roads. So many devotees in America, Europe. Our history of our movement is very glorious. Sachisutta Prabhu in this beautiful episode which is embalmed in the salted bread. Sadhaka devotee, his 2-year-old devotee taking initiation from Niranjan Swami Maharaj at that time. He's just a fresh devotee along with his dear friend Sarabhavana Prabhu and others also who are there, and Brahmananda and others also. They're all in this jail, this Russian jail in Armenia. Right? Oh my God, what a life they had. What torture. Not emotional torture, but actually brutal, savage massacre of their bodies with batons and wild words and kicks, spine-breaking experiences, blasting somebody on the eyes, and oh my God, within the very memory of those beatings draws tears to the eyes. So here, his body could not sustain 2 years of rigorous imprisonment. It's beyond him. But we can see that he died. He actually died in jail. He contracted tuberculosis. He vomited blood from his lungs, and he died. Right? But the story remains untold. Buddha remained untold, but not for his co-prisoner, who was a regular murderer or whatever he was, in the same cell as him. So when I saw this person, and then what he did was he rolled a newspaper into balls. And then he asked me to string those newspaper balls into a garland. And then removed his regular toothpaste and applied on 12 parts of his body as tilak. And then when they had departed, Saurabh Bhavana Prabhu and Sachisutta Prabhu had departed from their, you know, from their meeting when they were at their own ashram at Armenia. The only thing, they couldn't carry the bead bags, they couldn't carry money, they couldn't carry nothing. They just had he had a very small stamp-like size photograph of Panchatattva, which these people had searched them everywhere, but you know, they couldn't figure out the small thing which was there hidden in his coat. So because he knows that he is going to end his body, this is his last breaths, Krishna was within his soul practically, guiding him, said, "My dear Prabhu, come back to me." And he's sitting there with not beads, we're talking of tulsi beads here, oh, no question of tulsi beads in the jail, the beads made of dried bread and chasani, sugar, right? There were beads like that put up there to dry, and then they were strung into a bead. So he was standing on those non-tulsi beads. It had non-tulsi har, no flower garlands, some paper, newspaper, no tilak of chandan and all this gopi chandan, toothpaste. But consciousness, everything ultimately is consciousness. This is not whether you apply toothpaste or this and that. Of course, we should not do that. And then he's sitting with the Panchatattva picture in front of his eyes, and he's chanting the glories of the Lord. He's chanting Krishna's names, and there's a beautiful smile on his face as he's about to die. Now, which man who is having tuberculosis and is so lean and thin, lost several kilos of his flesh, and vomiting blood and coughing like crazy, who has the power to smile at the time of death? No friends, no family, no Sri Guru, no devotees, nobody, all in a dark dungeon jail. But Krishna was there for him. That is what the point we are trying to understand today. That Krishna was there for him, not in physical, like playing his flute and showing his beautiful form, but within his heart, fully manifesting, waiting to receive the soul back home. And he was fully manifesting that picture which was there in his front of his eyes, said, "Yes, I'm there for you." Right? So Krishna loves all of us. So let's believe in this statement. And let's not look for cheap love of this world. The love of the world is cheap. Because why it is cheap? Because it is selfish. There is a patient in the hospital which we are treating. He came from Calcutta for therapy to our hospital, and he is maybe 65 now, had a good big mass in his lungs. He's got cancer, metastasized to his liver, brain, and to his cervical spine. And then he has some people who are like sort of his relatives who are struggling to get some money for his treatment, and they spoke to me last evening, said, "Doctor, you know, this medicine, water, you know, he required money for this and that and radiotherapy and so many other things." He said, "We contacted four of his brothers. Two of them are scientists, two of them are in America, and there's so much money there. But no one among the four brothers is willing to pay a single paisa for his treatment." So we are wondering whether can we shift him from this second class room to the, you know, economy ward or something like that, so that we have to pay less for him. The world is such a selfish place. And they told me that, Doctor, the real story is that this elder brother has done so much for all of his four younger brothers. He has slogged to give them education and give them help and bring them to whatever level they are. And now they're all settled in their own respective places. And this man is here alone, probably going to die in a few weeks now. But no money to, you know, for his basic treatment. So this is a selfish world. It is a selfish world. And that makes us even more encouraged to go to Krishna. More encouraged to go to Krishna's devotees. Because their love is selfless. Devotees' love is not like this. Right? So if you are small devotees, let's not forget Krishna is there for us. Devotees will be there for us. Reminds me of the story of Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur. And how even if you are, as he says here, the Krishna is kritagnya and grateful for what little worship a devotee offers. And if Krishna, even if the devotee forgets, the Lord does not. That's very important. Kamakrishna Das did leave Mahaprabhu's association. It's a fact. It's a historical fact that he left the Lord's association. But Krishna did not forget him. He dragged him back by his hair and put him back to the devotee's association and said, go with them. The simple devotee, this story is very dear to Radhanath Maharaj's heart. It tells us of many occasions. The simple devotee, Brahmachari, we all know, opening of this temple, I don't know where, in India, Saraswati Thakur was inaugurating this temple, someplace. Big temple, big celebrations, Pran Pratishtha, lot of people, lot of festivities, VIPs are coming, and in a big grandeur, and so much time and energy and money is being spent for these huge festivities of, and Saraswati Thakur, Acharya is coming for the, you know, inaugural function and everything else. And then, among all this fanfare and devotional fervor and various things happening, so Thakur remembers this one insignificant brahmachari. So where is that brahmachari? So in the intense activity was going on in the last few weeks, nobody really noticed that, well, actually it's a fact, we didn't see him for a few days, right? Did you see him? No, we didn't see him. Maharaj, we do not know where he is now. So go and search for him. Maybe we just go and search for people like that. Huh? Just go and search for him. This is Krishna. This is Krishna acting through his devotee's pure devotee's heart. Search this devotee of mine. Where is he gone? So they went to the entire city of Calcutta practically. Searching for this devotee. And then, you know, they had no idea. Brahmachari at that time, they don't have a database. Where have you come from? No fingerprint. Or, you know, this and that. They didn't know where he was from. You know, he must be from some place in Calcutta, hopefully. You know, he didn't come from anywhere else, but you know, where in the whole huge city, where does he come from? But the desire of a pure devotee, they did actually find him. Someone said, yes, the few days back, he did repair my watch, which was not working. So he probably is good at watchmaking. So let's go and look at all the watchmakers' shops. Maybe he's in one of that special shops. Maybe he's taken some shelter there for his livelihood. And they go around the whole city and then say, yeah, I know, yeah, and then contact. Okay, then, hey, Prabhu, you're here? How wonderful, we have been able to trace you. Guru Maharaj is remembering you with love and is calling you back to his lotus feet. The devotee just went and started crying. He said, he's remembering me? Then he's an insignificant brahmachari who has just joined, whatever. And he was probably having his difficulties or whatever else was happening to him, we really don't know. But there was enough reason for him to feel that I should not continue over here. But Krishna does not forget. Through his pure devotee, he searched out for him, get him back. And he came back and he stayed forever. Because he tasted Krishna's specific personal love. Right? So these stories, not only from the scriptures, but also from day-to-day happenings, are very encouraging. And that reinforces our fledgling little faith, which we all have, that we are absolutely on the right path. We just need to continue with even greater sincerity. We just need to continue with even more dedication. We just need to continue with little more faith. We can invest faith in Krishna. We can invest that. We have to have faith somewhere. We have faith in the stocks. We have faith in our company. We have faith in the train. We have faith in the bus we travel. We have faith in the doctor who treats us. We have faith in the lawyer who takes our cases. We have faith in so many people. We need to invest more faith in Krishna. We can and we should. Right? That we will never be disappointed. All the people I mentioned can disappoint us. Doctors, lawyers, parents, this, that, friends, so-called. They all can ditch us. But Krishna will never. If the smallest thing we do for him, it says it is kritagya. Kritagya. He is always grateful. Right? So let's continue. And we can just continue with this simple faith. And then in a practical level, just loving service to Vaishnavas. And humbly trying to chant Krishna's holy names. If we can just do these two simple but powerful activities, offering loving service to Krishna's dear devotees and lovingly chanting Krishna's holy names. If we just do that, we will be eligible to get Krishna's affection, Krishna's gratitude towards our small services, and Krishna will always remain our eternal well-wisher. As Prabhupada used to sign every letter, that is Krishna signing through Prabhupada. That is Krishna's love manifesting through Prabhupada. Prabhupada is having this unlimited ocean of love for all of us because he is fully carrying Krishna in his heart. And because Krishna is fully manifesting through Srila Prabhupada, he has the power to sign something like this. No man can sign like this. It is so outrageous to think you are ever well-wisher. What do you mean you are ever well-wisher? How can you be my ever well-wisher? You don't even know me. I just know you for the last 3 months. Right? My parents told me for the last 25 years and they are not my ever well-wishers. How can you write something like this? Prabhupada, whether he knew you or did not know you, but he knew you because Krishna knows everybody. And through Krishna, Prabhupada knew everybody because he is Jagat Guru. He is the Guru of the whole world. Right? So Prabhupada could write, you are ever well-wisher. So Krishna's pure devotees, they are always our ever well-wishers. Let that be our faith which sustains us life after life after life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.